Call to order the meeting of regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council. Call to order at 6:12 p.m. Tuesday, August 12, 2025. Let Councilman Coleman please read the mission statement.
Provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. City Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Mr. Longo?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson? Mr. Tungo?
Here.
For the record, Councilman Luby and Councilman Nicholson are excused. We do have a quorum. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to this time recognize visitors in our chambers at the council meeting. Alaska Speaker of the House, Representative Bryce Edgman. And he's going to give us words of knowledge.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, council members, staff, members of the public. Really appreciate just having a couple of minutes to thank you for the invitation to come down, be part of the conference, be part of the annual legislative fly-in. I'm really impressed by the conference agenda. I think it's very comprehensive. I look forward to certainly engaging along with a number of legislators who are coming in, and I'll leave the details to your municipal lobbyists to speak to in terms of who's actually coming to Unalaska. But while I have the floor for just a couple of short minutes, I wanted to let you all know that the legislature technically is in a special session as we speak. You might ask why I'm not there as a presiding officer of the House. And the reason for that is that the legislature did satisfy the call that the governor issued for the legislature to come forward and take up some education items and also an executive order pertaining to a Department of Agriculture. But the legislature, who hadn't been consulted about the special session beforehand, basically told the governor, we control the agenda once we get there. And our plan was to hold an override session through a joint session, which we did do on Saturday, October 2nd. And in a very historic manner, we overrode the governor's prior veto of a base student allocation amount for about $50 million. And the translation is that the legislature basically overrode the governor such that the $50 million could go to all the schools across the state that have been clamoring for more funding, for badly needed funding. And so that's really good news for the local school district here in Unalaska. We also, kind of to my surprise, I wasn't sure if the votes were going to be there, but we overrode the governor on a bill that's kind of a sleeper piece of legislation. It's a bill that would give the state auditor the tools to actually audit oil companies and their tax settlements, because we believe that the Dunleavy administration has not been essentially forthright in terms of complying with the auditor, and that there might be a fair amount of money at stake that's owed to the state. We don't know for sure. It's all sort of conjecture at this point, because the state auditor, who normally would be able to audit these tax settlements, hasn't been able to get her hands on the specific sort of information that she needs to do what's called a performance audit. So with that, I'm very pleased to be in town. Thank you for the opportunity to speak for a couple of minutes. And as I leave here, I remember my last time I was here. I'm not sure if anybody was on the staff. Maybe Sherry was. We were doing a 46-page PowerPoint on the fiscal future of Alaska. So thankfully, none of you will be subject to that tonight. So, Mr. Mayor, House members, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you the next couple of days.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So we'll be hearing more from you in the special programs that we have when it may be available. Thanks. Let's see. Next, I'll introduce the city lobbyist, Diane Bloomer, here.
Good evening, Mayor and council members and members of the public. I was hoping to go before our illustrious speaker because I was going to talk a little bit about the legislative session and then the special session and then hand it over to him. So he did speak a little bit about a few of the things that I was going to speak about. But first, I want to share who's going to be joining us for the legislative fly-in. Obviously, Speaker Edgemond is here. Representative Fields will be here. Representative Shragi will be here from Anchorage, and he's on the Finance Committee. Senator Bjorkman, who's the Transportation Committee Chair. Representative Stapp from Fairbanks, who's the on the Finance Committee as well. And then Senator Hoffman will be joining us as well this year. So looking forward to our what used to be a legislative fly-in, and now Bill's team has put together this really nice conference, and so I'm looking forward to see how that will go this week. Hopefully it's very informational and people really enjoy it, so we can continue to share information with people who aren't always able to get into their public officials or into town to share their concerns and hear from their officials. I'm going to just go into just a little bit more detail about the overrides, because it really was a historic event. Speaker Edgemond just kind of said they overrode them, but in reality, they need to override the governor for a vote, for a veto. They need a three-quarters vote to override anything that's the appropriations, which is the $50 million that Speaker Edgemond talked about for the school funding. So you need three-quarters of the legislature to actually override the governor. So they got that with a razor-thin margin, but they did get the votes, obviously. And then for a bill, they only need two-thirds, so they only need 40 of the legislators. But I think the last time a veto of this nature occurred was about 37 years ago. Is that about right? So it's not something that happens every day. And it likely will create tension as we go forward into our next session with the administration and the legislature. One other thing I want to point out is that the bills that he vetoed prior to this special session are the so when a veto occurs, the legislature has 5 days once they reconvene to come back in. When they come in, they have 5 days to do a veto override. If they don't do that within the 5 days, they can't, the veto stands. The bills that have not been considered by the governor yet won't, if he vetoes more bills between now and the next regular session, they can consider those bills then. And there are still some bills that are outstanding. One of the things besides the education funding some of the appropriations that are important probably to us here in Alaska is the veto of about $62 million of transportation funding that was reallocated to be used towards the match. And the state of Alaska receives a match of 90%, it's a 10 to 90% with federal government dollars. Losing $60 million, you guys can do the math, is about $600 million that the state won't get in transportation funding. So that's kind of a big deal. We'll be talking to the legislature about that. We all know how important transportation dollars are out here. So the rest of my comments, we're talking about the special session and the overrides. So I'll be around for the next couple of days. I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm happy to be here. And thanks for your time.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'll be introducing our special guests, and a couple of them will be speaking during the agenda meeting. So I'll just ask for them to stand, wave, or backflips or something. Being here. Thank you. The next I've got is introduces City Natural Resource Analyst Frank Kelty, former mayor. Good to see you again, Frank. You've got a report coming up on the agenda, Frank.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, it's nice to be home after an absence of 2 years. And as most everyone knows, I was a full-time resident here for 50 years. And so it was a beautiful flight in on a small plane on Sunday, and I survived that. It was beautiful. So anyway, it's nice to be here tonight. Just a couple of comments. I see Charles is here tonight, and he's going to do a presentation or talk to you guys about some things. But I just want to give a quick update on the St. Paul item. Charles was excellent on his work with his firm, working with myself and the St. Paul people on the crab situation. We're still getting nickeled and dimed to death a little bit on St. Paul. I know that they showed me a check today that St. Paul is getting for about $50,000. And that's because price adjustments on the profit sharing agreements that harvesters and processors had. So we're getting the tax money is coming back, you know, an increase because of price differentials like that. So, but we won't know again if we're going to have to do this again until the October quotas are announced. I'm pretty certain that the Opelio won't be a huge increase. I think there'll be an increase, but I don't know if the increase is going to be enough that Snow Crab or the operator up at St. Paul will want to operate again. So I got a hunch it will probably be asked to do the same program again. What do you? Oh, just for a picture? Oh, okay. Anyway, so I thought I was going to do my seafood presentation. All of a sudden, that was supposed to be tomorrow. Okay. Anyway, but so that program went to work very well. We got all the bugs worked out. We had good cooperation by the processors, the harvesters. So we know how to do it now. And I expect we'll probably be, I don't think the North-South regionalization will go away anytime soon. So we'll probably end up having to do it again. But we have to see when the quotas are announced for crab in October at the October council meeting before we know for sure. Other than that, the pollock fishery is moving along. We kind of had a slow week last week. Some of the people in the industry told me that a lot of the catcher vessels and other people are running away from herring bycatch. They don't want to get kicked out of areas or have to move too far, but they're looks like they're moving ahead to the northwest a little bit more to look for fish up there to get cleaner fishing. We're almost at 49% through August 2nd of the harvest, so we still have a little over 800 million pounds still to harvest. We're about halfway. So I'm still thinking we'll be middle to late up September, depending on how fishing goes the rest of the way. We should start seeing some golden king crab deliveries maybe at the end of this week. They've been open for 11 days now. I believe there's 4 vessels fishing. So that is ongoing. And we're still getting some halibut and sablefish deliveries in town, and along with a little bit of cod. We're averaging about 1,300 to 1,400 metric tons of cod a week. So it's not a big deal on cod. But it's percolating along. We'll hope the pollock catch picks up again. And we don't have any bycatch issues later on in the season. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Frank. Next, I'll introduce City Attorney Charles Cassiola and Sam Sever.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for having us out here. It's always helpful for us to be able to see everyone in person and discuss everything that's going on. Sam will actually be giving the report this year, so you guys another face to look at.
Okay, thank you. And your report is on the agenda. Next, Bill Learman of APCM will be giving an update here. You'll be giving that on the agenda. Thank you. Natalie Kale of OC, Sierra and Town, welcome. And I've got Caitlin Yeager from the Etsy Processors here in the meeting. Wave, stand up, say hello. And that Julie DeCure chair.
Okay.
Also with BSBA. I just got the notes. Thanks for being here this evening. We'll get on with our regular agenda. Adoption of the agenda. Motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please.
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Longo. Are there any objections to adopting the agenda? Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. Next item is approve the minutes of the previous meeting. We have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of the meeting of July 22, 2025 as presented.
Move to approve minutes of previous meeting, July 22nd, 2025.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Longo. Does the council, if there's any objections? Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Next item is the community input and announcements. This is time for members of the public may provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name.
Hello, Mayor and Council. Glad to be back. It's good to be back in Alaska. I love being here. Roger Blakely from the PCR. First announcement I have is this Saturday, Art of the Lucians, down on Broadway. It's going to be downtown, music, food, vendors, fun. And it looks like we're going to have fairly good weather. So come on down. Let's have a good time on Saturday, 12 to 6. We're doing some fun things at the Aquatic Center. We have Once Upon a Tide. It's for mermaids or pirates. Join us for story time under the sea. We're going to have the dreaded pirate crash there, and we're going to have real mermaids swimming around. So it's time to come and be part of the Aquatic Center Fun. It'll be, I got to tell you what it's going to be. It's going to be on Saturday, August 30th, 2 to 5. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger, and welcome back. Next, please. Thanks.
Hello, I'm Lynn Crane. I'm speaking on behalf of Dr. Virginia Hatfield from the Museum of the Illusions because she can't be here tonight. She just wanted to remind everyone that their annual auction will be Saturday, November 8th, so please put that on your calendar. Also, they will have a table at the Heart of the Illusions. And on behalf of USAVE, I wanted to remind folks that our Make a Difference Dinner for Suicide Prevention Awareness is coming up. We normally hold that in September, which is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, but this month, due to some scheduling issues, we pushed it to October. It'll take place Saturday, October 18th. If you've never been to this event, I know it sounds like a heavy topic, but it really is fun. There's a lot of different tables you can visit. You learn about community resources. You learn about how food impacts mood. You learn about how to use art as a healing tool. Local events, PCR has a table. It's a really fun event in a way that we work with a lot of different community partners, difficult conversations. I really hope that a lot of you can come. I think it's really important. We always have a great turnout among young people, especially teenagers, because the food's really good. But it's really important for them to see our community leaders there, to know that you guys take mental health seriously and that you think that the work that we're all doing cooperatively is important. So we hope to see you there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Catherine McGlashan, Unalaska Visitors Bureau. Since May 7th, UVB has hosted 9 cruise ships, plus a cruise ship arriving this Thursday, the Hanseatic Inspiration, with 190 passengers. We also have had 4 Testaminas arriving. In our office from April to July, we've had over 800 contacts, whether it was a phone call, walk-in, email, or just requested information of our community and arriving to our community. For September, we have 9 cruise ships scheduled with 2 Testamina arrivals. At this point, we have had over 5,000 visitors come into our port, and in September, we'll probably have the same amount. So UVB is excited to present tomorrow at the community conference. We present with Museum of the Illusions on tourism and cruise ships, and we start at 2 p.m. in the Dan Missoni Conference Room. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, my name is Ellis Berry. I'm here to say that there will be a formerly used defense site restoration advisory board meeting 6 to 8 on next Tuesday, August 15th. There are no posters as of yet. The Army Corps of Engineers didn't send them out in advance, but I will hopefully be able to put them up around town, or you can reach out to me. I can give you the link. It will be virtual only because I believe federal funding got cut for them to fly out here. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else in chambers?
Mayor, the yes. City Clerk's office would like to take a moment to share a couple of important announcements for the community. First, a reminder that the first half of property tax payments are due on Wednesday, August 20, 2025. You can find more information on how to pay by visiting the City Hall or contacting the City Clerk's office. Next would be for anyone interested in running for local office, please note that the deadline to declare your candidacy is Friday, August 22, 2025. You can pick up the candidacy packet at the clerk's office. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. City Clerk, does anyone have written comments or anyone on Zoom or telephone wish to speak?
No one, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Next item is the public comment on agenda items. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. If they don't wish to wait until the item comes up on the regular agenda. To comment during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, use the microphone. No one in chambers? Anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No one, Mayor.
Next item on our agenda is reports, and we heard from City Lobbyist Dan Broomer and City Natural Resource Analyst Frank Kelty. Any questions for them at this time, council members? City Attorney, next item is the City Manager's Report. Turn this over to the City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Just want to point to a couple of the dates to remember. Obviously, today we're in the throes of our Aleutian Regional Community Conference. We have about 100 guests registered and presenters. And the Heart of the Aleutians is this Saturday, the 16th. We also confirmed that Senator Dan Sullivan will be arriving here Saturday, the 16th. The Heart of the Aleutians is one of the draws. He'll leave Sunday. We did work on the tsunami alert system, and in your packets, there's a memorandum about tsunami alert system issue. And basically, the one thing that I can say to everyone is there are a lot of seems like be glitches out there in people's having alarm systems that they want to alert you to, but the one that counts is our tsunami sirens. So I encourage everyone to listen for our sirens before they do anything, because we do, and our team there does look and communicate with the State Emergency Operations Center to make sure that before we turn those on that we're affected. And there's a couple of reasons that it will take a while to get into about why you receive notices on your phones and everywhere else, but you don't hear our tsunami sirens go off. So again, any questions, don't do anything. And please don't call 911. We are aware, like everyone else, that those are going off. That just really just clogs up the 911 system. We will get something out as soon as we can about whether the sirens will go off or they won't. Bonk.
Does other communities have the same issue on this?
Well, I think we're definitely in a strange and peculiar spot out here. I mean, I can ask Ben to talk about it, but just having some of the communications come through the towers on our island somehow affect whether we're in or not. We're certainly not, in the middle of Kansas or Ohio, where things are stable, the currents and all those things play into effect here. So I can't speak to what other communities are having problems, but I know why we're having some.
Any further questions from council members for the city manager's report?
I just wanted to finish there, Mayor, that you do see the folks out finishing the striping. We did as much ceiling as we're going to get to the roads. I think we still have ballyhoo yet to do, so we'll do that next year. School boilers, those have been installed. The contract is waiting for a few parts to complete that project. We've had a consultant out to do roof and building assessments, and we will get that report to you as soon as we can. And I can tell you that we've made an offer to a candidate for the Department of Public Works director, and we're still going through some of the, you know, making sure all of the screenings and background checks all check out, but it looks very positive. So I'll give you more information as soon as I can on that.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Any questions or comments for the city manager on this report?
I got it.
On the
GCI pavement cuts, so this thing won't happen in 2026. We got some worse cut that we're running through every day, especially towards Valley Road. Is there any temporary fix that we can do so people won't be calling us and complaining?
We're having a problem, obviously, with sourcing the material and the batch plant. So Kinnick isn't going to fire up the batch plant just for these cuts. So we are trying to do something temporarily until we get them done. And I'm very aware that it's a problem. I drive over them too.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions, comments? Okay. Thank you for the report. Next is the annual city attorney annual report. Turn this over to city manager for further information.
So you have the pleasure of hearing from Mr. Sam Severin. He works with our staff and admin on HR issues quite often. Let's put it that way. We've gotten to know Sam very well, and he's going to give the report tonight.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill. Thank you for having us out. We came out on Sunday and had beautiful weather. Great flight in. While we're here, a couple of things. We take advantage of these opportunities. I think Charles mentioned it briefly, but to do a lot of just be deliberate about driving and walking around and getting a sense of the culture, but also the geography and just kind of the ebb and flow of the community. It helps us be a better service to the community, having that knowledge. So we are deliberate about doing that. And I'd also say that we represent cities all across the state and visit them. And Unalaska does a good job of setting up focused meetings for us. So I've been able to meet specifically with the clerk's office, with the police chief, and with the risk manager to just go over issues that it's just nice to do in person. The report starts with a breakdown of fees. Over the last year was $153,000 and a certain amount of expenses. That's a little bit of an increase over last year. I think as you read the report, you'll see a kind of a surface level without going into anything in detail. It tends to be relatively spread out across a number of matters, which is good. A lot of times what'll drive that figure up is a particularly large litigation budget for a particular case, and we don't have that, so that is generally spread out across. And each item or category that we've worked on is itemized throughout. Focus on just a couple, then sit down so we can move through the rest of the agenda. But one is on page 2. The top of it is a litigation matter that was a code enforcement case that started in 2020. And bring that up for a couple of reasons. One, we were able to collect a significant amount of money. That doesn't happen all the time. That's not necessarily the nature of our work, but it does happen from time to time. But more importantly, I take particular pride in the code enforcement matters. We have codes on the books, but if we don't have the follow through to deal with people who aren't following those rules, there's a number of things we can do. Citations, we help advise on that, but also ultimately a lot of times it comes down to civil litigation for an injunction and to collect fees or fines. And you'll see this one is a 2020 case, so sometimes it takes sticking with it. Charles and I were both a lot younger when that started. I find those cases just particularly satisfying. A lot of times cities will have a problem property, a problem individual that kicks around for quite a few years and nobody quite knows how to move it to the next level of making it stop. And when we're able to do it, it's particularly satisfying. The other category is the general counsel work. That tends to be a large category, and that's many, many things. But a lot of times that's just the phone calls or emails that are dealt with in maybe even 20 or 30 minutes. It's just a lot of that is complying with laws like the Open Meetings Act. And much of our job, if we're doing it well, nobody ever sees. And that's that large category. I outlined, there's a comment on policies at the bottom, that drafting policies is something that a lot of times people don't see that we do a lot of. And we've been doing some good work on a few of those this year. Personnel is it's tough to, that's another large sort of line item in the budget that we don't necessarily itemize for all of our clients in the same way, but that's generally representative. Those issues are, they tend to be just very labor intensive from the attorney standpoint. There's a lot of back and forth with a particular employee or about one. It's hard to write up a summary because by nature that's relatively pretty private compared to other areas that we work in. So if anybody does have questions about specific matters, we can address it through administration or in an executive session. One other thing about personnel that I think is interesting is we do have a number of attorneys and work well as a team. You often see Charles or myself, but we have others, and we have an attorney, John Fechter, who we do enough personnel work that he really specializes in it, and his work with the city of Onalaska has just been, it's a good fit as far as he just works well with the city, and that's been a positive. The last thing I thought I'd mention is just the public safety briefly. The city is working right now on some policy revisions to the police policy that I think eventually some of that will come to our desk. So that section might be a little bit bigger next year. It's important work. I hope we do get to spend some time reviewing those police policies. One of the other things that you see on there is that we did spend some time on the Ruckman matter, and I just thought I would explain that very briefly, since that might seem, I know that's an important matter, but there is a, often this happens frequently that in a criminal case, a party will move for certain police files to be disclosed, and there's and that occurred here. And I wouldn't say there's a particular winning or losing that necessarily goes on, but there is a process that's designed to make sure that the privacy of the officers is maintained while making sure that whatever information needs to be disclosed is disclosed. And the goal is really just to make the judge do that balancing act. So that's what that work from our office was around that issue. So with that, unless people have specific questions, I think I'll wrap up.
Hey, thank you for your report. Does council have any questions? legal and report.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Our next item under reports is annual investment review, and I'll turn this over to the city manager.
Good evening. Tonight, we had the pleasure of having William Learman here from Alaska Permanent Capital Management. He's going to give his annual update. He's also been involved, along with our attorney firm, in the sustainability fund work that you're going to take up later this evening. So it's one of the reasons we timed the agenda so that they're all here, and that comes up if you have any questions before we enter into that. So I do, Mr. Learman, for your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council, and staff. I have my comments today are going to be broken into three sections. The first two here in the report section, one on the portfolio review. Second is kind of an update of some market conditions and how they're going to affect the portfolio that ABC manages. And then shift in my third part of into the work session regarding the sustainability fund for about 15, 20 minutes, if that's okay, Mr. Mayor. With that time allotment. Thank you. With me tonight, I also have Joel Allen, a colleague of mine. He sits on our multi-asset investment team. He's gonna speak to a couple of slides in the work session when we talk about the sustainability fund. We've been a longtime partner with the city, and I thank you guys for the partnership and trust in APCM. Since June of 1995, we started this portfolio, and it was a little under 20 million at the time. And as you can see here, you know, throughout time, there's been some additions and some subtractions in this fund. And currently, as of July 31st, there's 122 million sitting in this portfolio. So thank you for that partnership and that trust to help build this throughout time, and then looking into the future with the sustainability fund. One note I do want to take is since May of 2016, there hasn't been no transactions within withdrawals or deposits in this account. One of the things to note that the reserves are plentiful in this, and that will work into the sustainability fund and how, and our recommendation on how much to allot into that fund for you guys' consideration later tonight. One more. So the portfolio that we manage, the objectives are preservation of capital and to meet operating needs. And we've met those two objectives throughout this time. The yield on this portfolio is 4.19%. The benchmark, which is an all treasury agency benchmark, that's right at 4%. So we're out yielding our benchmark that is perceived for us for performance reasons. The average maturity within the portfolio is about 2 years. So securities within this portfolio are all securities from 1 to 5 years. They're investment grade, meaning triple B and above. We do hold corporates credit in this portfolio, asset-backed securities, that which are rated triple A versus a benchmark, which is just treasury and agency. So you would expect us holding some riskier assets that we should yield greater than the benchmark, and we do by 20 basis points. Looking at the bottom left-hand corner and that composition, we own about 21% credit, 64% treasuries, and about 10% agency callables. The agencies are the Fannie Mae's, Federal Home Loan Banks in the portfolio. And then we own about 5% asset-backed securities. One note that the treasury allocation, when we go back a year and a half ago from January 2024 to today, has increased about 4 or 5%, as we're perceiving that there's not as much value in the credit sector, and also setting it up for the next in case something happened with the sustainability fund. So we wanted to keep plenty of liquidity within this portfolio. One note, in the upper right hand, this is the annual coupon income of this portfolio. has gone up since December 2021. It is currently just shy about $4.5 million of coupon interest income coming off this portfolio. And that now it's moved up from about $1.5 million in December 2021. That's a function of two things. One, the portfolio has grown, so the pie is a little bit bigger. But the second, interest rates have been moving up. So just the market rates in general, with reinvestments of the securities at higher yields, a higher coupon interest coming off this portfolio. And as I mentioned, that coupon income, now as interest rates have come up, the portfolio has taken advantage of that by being able to reinvest and have higher coupon income. But now as we look, and I just graphed the portfolio yield, which is in the blue on the top, and then the orange is the benchmark, just or the two-year treasury. We expect a higher a difference between those two since the portfolio does own riskier assets. The portfolio kind of peaked in the fourth quarter of 2023, right near 5.4%, and now it's kind of come down. Now we're expecting over the next 16 to 18 months that yields will continue to come down on this portfolio. So the next time I'm in front of you, the portfolio might have grown a little bit, but if interest rates continue going down, that coupon income probably will come down right along with that. But however, when interest rates do come down, market value of the securities will go up. So we'll have on the next slide, please. And when we start looking at the performance of this portfolio, and we look at the 1 year and we had stable rates, basically the portfolio had the coupon income plus a little bit additional of price increases in securities. The portfolio returned over the last 12 months, 4.82 versus the benchmark of 4.44. So basically 40 basis points. If we look at over a 3 year period, similar to that graph before us, the portfolio returned 3.75% versus the benchmark of 3.28. So about 50 basis points over time. And that's the increase in credit spreads and aspects and the securities. So moving forward, I expect the yields to continue to come down, but we should still see performance in that between that 4.25% and 5% over the next couple of years as interest rates move down and the Federal Reserve cuts rates with that. I will pause there before I move into my market commentary.
Any questions?
You can skip to page 15, pass this part, the next section. Yep, keep going. Keep going. Oh, yeah, right there. Perfect. Thank you. When we entered this year in December, there was kind of three themes in the markets. One was extremely high policy uncertainty with tariffs, fiscal policy at the federal government level. That kind of started creating this runaway inflation theme throughout the markets. The second, which is based off of those two things, that the topic of recessions was coming into the markets, which then finally, with those two, higher inflation, weaker policy uncertainty, prospect of the recession, the market was pricing in 5 to 6 Federal Reserve cuts, interest rate cuts in there. Well, today, they have not cut yet this year. We haven't seen that inflation from the tariffs. There is more policy uncertainty. Congress was able to pass some fiscal policy measures, and we still haven't had a recession. So when we look at the markets as a whole outside, and we think about, you know, at the beginning of the year, that first bucket up there, those are kind of what we call risk control. You guys are going to hear some of these terms a little bit more within the sustainability fund, but that risk control, we can think of these as our bonds and cash. And we can see they're all positive. Basically, the bonds return their coupon income plus a little bit more. And then we go into the second categories. These are what are called alternatives, golds, commodities, REITs. Those are real estate, investment trust, infrastructure. Gold up 26.2% year to date. Infrastructure up 13.2%. People invested in those two asset classes because of the uncertainty and inflation. And then the third are risk assets. These are our equity components, both global and at the U.S. European financials was the winner at 41% year to date. Developed markets at 18%. U.S. large cap at 8.5%. High yield bonds at 5.5%. And the reason why I put this up there was at the beginning of the year, if people put this exact same chart up there, they would have the reverse. They would have thought that the bonds in that first section would have been much, much higher, and that lower class in the green, those risk assets would be negative. And we didn't see that this year. So the economy is still moving forward. Certainty is being taken out of the market. And now we're going to be focused on what the Fed does moving forward. And when we think about, when we think about the markets, we have to think about the economy. The U.S. economy has been resilient for sure. There's been, there's been growth. We're not in recession, negative growth. There are pockets of weaknesses for sure within the United States and globally, think Canada and over in Europe. Inflation has improved, was, at its peak at 9.1%. It's come all the way down. Down to 2.3%. Now it's sitting about 2.7% this morning. CPI number came out. It's about 2.7%. So definitely in positive. The Fed policy, the market, as I mentioned at the beginning of the year, was pricing 5 to 6 interest rate cuts. The market has now priced in 2 for 2025, the first being in September. Now I'll just kind of make a quick on the economy. When we think about stocks, kind of going back, the expectations for, calendar year 2025 earnings, per share growth has fallen. It peaked about 15.1% in August. It's come down to about 9.9%, well above where recessionary indicators would predict. So again, we look at the top right chart, real GDP growth. We've had very positive 2% growth. And then when we think about GDP projections and we think where the market is, no one's predicting a recession and down under negative territory, where at the beginning of the year, many participants were expecting negative growth. And I'll just end up, and this is my favorite chart. I point this out. My staff at work gets tired of me putting this up. When we think about the labor market, everybody, we hear about the unemployment rate and that's doing well, things to that nature. But when we think about just the job openings, and there's still, still approximately 4.7 million job openings. And with that said, there's still are 7.4 million job openings. So there's still capacity in the labor force to take up unemployment, anybody who's unemployed and do that. So when we think about history and we look at that, that number has to come down significantly by about 3 million before I start getting worried about the recessionary factors and things to that nature. So, and I'll just finish up on this one last, my last page on inflation. Looking when we think about inflation and where it was at the beginning of the year, at 9.1%, people were talking about stagflation, how that was going to run into the economy. And when we think about inflation and how that would have been with your guys' portfolio, that would have been detrimental to your guys' portfolio, having very high inflation. But with that inflation indicator coming down to got down to 2.3%, but now at 2.7%, that's within the comfort levels. And we think about your yield to maturity on your portfolio, above 4% inflation underneath that, you're still getting a real return on your reserves within that portfolio. And I'll end my comments there and take any questions regarding the markets.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on markets? Councilman Bell?
Excuse me if I don't use the right terms here and everything. So let me see if I can phrase this question. I was reading articles recently, and it was talking about different factors that we look at as far as the health of the economy. And this was particularly looking at stuff like bonds and treasuries and the interest rate, and how historically when there's changes in different indicators or different markets, that there's a predictable change in other areas. Mm-hmm. And this article is suggesting that it hasn't recent times haven't really followed the what has been historically happening. In your opinion, are you seeing some of that, or is there just still a certain amount of uncertainty in the, all these markets?
There's always going to be uncertainty, and we accept that uncertainty, things that we just can't see. One of the indicators they talk about is the yield curve. And before, front-end rates were very similar to long-end rates, but as the, and if the front-end rates are above long-end rates, that predicts recession. However, now all of a sudden, long-end rates are going higher. And when we think about the 30-year around 5% versus the front-end two-year below 4%, so now we have a normal shape yield curve. And that, and getting into your thought and that predictivity of that, what that is saying is that Federal Reserve will start decreasing rates to, you know, in case of slowing of the economy down. And when we think about, you know, a lot of those articles that was talked, and probably the number one articles that are headline risk is fiscal policy and too many treasuries in the market and long end rates increases, thus mortgage rates go up, credit card rates move up, things to that nature to hurt the consumer. We just haven't seen that quite yet.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Any further questions?
That concludes my comments regarding the portfolio and the market.
Okay, thank you. Thanks very much for the report update. The next item is a work session. May I have a motion and a second to go into a work session? Are you done? No. Were you done with your report?
Yeah.
Next item was to go into a work session.
Okay, make a motion to go into a work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Tungle. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection. We're in a work session at 7:05 p.m. Next on our work session item is the discussion regarding the Sustainability Fund and the proposed ordinance 2025-10. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. So yes, tonight, I'm really excited the fact that everyone is here to help present this work session and the instruments that will help complete the creation of the Sustainability Fund and to put cash into that. Mr. Lehrman is here to facilitate the work session in terms of he has a presentation for it. But as you all know, you just most recently passed several items that go into helping create this, and I'm just say it's jumping so fast here, but you know, you've come up with your asset allocation plan, you've adopted performance benchmarks, a maximum distribution rate, you also came up with the sustainability fund purpose, how you'll make contributions to the fund, distribution guidelines, fund administration, investment guidelines, and performance monitoring. So tonight you will be, you know, as I said, I was instructed to leave the amount blank. So I've left the amount blank. But based on where you have been when we start, where you were when we started these discussions in, I think, 2020, you were thinking about $30 or $40 million. I think you've earned that much money in interest in your investments. So Bill can explain why, but you've recommended $50 million to put into this investment fund for you. So with that, I'll ask Mr. Learman to come back up to the podium.
thought I'd start this work session off and kind of walk through the timeline that where we started, and then where we are at now and what we need to continue to do. I want to have my colleague Joel just speak about and update our projections of just the sustainability fund, and then go back into the reasons why between 40 and 50 million to go ahead and establish. It'd be page 7. Yes, please. In your packet, in the appendix, I put a lot of information that we've a presentation from 2021 and some of the other documents. We're not going to go through them, but I just put them in there in case there was a question and we'd have it so I could point back to it. But when we think about our progress that we've made since 2021, we were in front of you guys. I was in front, and we started with different strategies, how to increase return on the excess reserves. We presented to this in 2021. In that same year, I went ahead and developed and worked with our team and staff regarding a bucketing strategy on the excess reserves, which born out of that was the sustainability fund. In 2024, we reviewed that, the asset allocation regarding the sustainability fund. What was selected coming out of those talks was a moderate growth asset allocation. Joel will get into that. Continue in 2024 with the work with Charles and his staff, we developed a draft ordinance and resolution for your review and your guys' approval. And then along with that draft, adopting the moderate growth allocation, a 4% distribution policy that will start in 5 years. And so that's where we are tonight. Our goal tonight is try to establish how much money is going to go into that sustainability. Back in 2021, we had 40 million. We came up with 40 million between council and our work. We started about 25, 34, 45, and then we ended up right about 40. So that's kind of where we kind of left it as we were tackling some of these other things. And I think now the recommendation is to move that up, and I'll get into those numbers here. But first, I just want to take a step back. Next page, please. And have my colleague Joel just speak to this next slide. And this is just regarding the growth allocation and the moderate growth allocation. This is what's going to be inside that sustainability fund and why that's important and why this allocation supports that 4% annual distribution. The one thing that I would note that every year as we move forward, we're going to come back to this slide. And looking at your guys' asset allocation within this, does it continue? Does the makeup of those asset classes within this portfolio, does it sustain that 4% distribution, you know, looking at down the road? So this is something that's going to be in front of you guys, and we'll work with council to work through this. So, Joel, if you can work through the slide for the council for us, please.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, so like Bill said, I wanted to talk a little bit about the allocation for the moderate growth, the moderate growth allocation for the sustainability fund that's already been approved by a resolution. You can see the high-level breakout off to the right here, and this portfolio would be broadly diversified across 14 asset classes, implemented with low-cost mutual funds or ETFs with thousands of underlying securities for diversification purposes. Again, like Bill said, this portfolio is designed to support up to 4% annual distributions starting in 2030, and that's per the resolution that was passed, as well as protecting against our estimation of 2.5% forward inflation for the next 10 years. Getting into what that actually looks like on a portfolio expected risk and return characteristics level, this is a moderate growth allocation. Our expected average annual return is 7.1%, and we would expect that within any given 1 year, it would range from negative 14.2% to positive 28.4%. Over the long run, that is expected to work out to a long-term average return of 6.6%. And in our average expected loss in extreme conditions, so that'd be something like a COVID-19 scenario or a widespread market drawdown, is 25.9%. I'll pause briefly if there's any questions on this slide before I pass it back to Bill for the next couple of slides here.
Thank you. Any questions on the moderate growth rate allocation?
So real quick, Bill, before I hand it back to you, once again, these are the statistics and characteristics for just the proposed sustainability fund. We'll get into later looking at the holistic city assets, including the sustainability fund at various funding levels. But with that, back to you, Bill.
Okay, thank you.
And this slide's going to be used again. So again, this is just the sustainability. We're going to use the same slide, and we're going to add all your assets, including the short-term reserves and your cash that you guys have. So now looking at that loss extreme condition, what would that look like in all your assets? This is just one sleeve of your overall assets. Looking at, you know, common ways that municipals, you know, decide, you know, long-term investment amounts, you know, one way is a specific liability or a future need. We have a client, a city that we manage a portfolio that has an asset retirement obligation. So they have to set aside some funds for a future liability. And during that time, we invest that money. And at the time, it was 25, 30 years of liability. So we started with a very aggressive asset class mix. And then as that liability comes and we meet that liability, then we'll go with more risk-averse assets to make sure that we meet that liability as time comes. Second is just a liquidity, invest access long reserves, taking those extra reserves and just moving them out in long horizons. This is generally just looking at, you know, a liquidity segmentation analysis, looking at your liquidity, looking at your time horizon and where those are at. And then third, kind of what we did in front of you guys a couple years ago and where we are today, just setting a percentage of your total reserves into that bucket. And, you know, during the recent, we used 25%. That's what, going back and forth, the council felt comfortable with to set aside during our comments earlier. So where are we at today? And when we look at where, let me take a step back. And on the left-hand side, this is where it was presented as of 2021. And you guys had about $160 million in total market value. And when we think about the bucketing, between operating cash, short-term reserves, and emergency operating fund, that is $25 million. And then there's that $40 million. So it made up about 25% of your assets. And if we move to the middle, your current assets are $211 million. $211 million total market value as of today. And then when we break it all up, if we just stay with that $40 million in the sustainability, that's that red bar on the very bottom, that's about 19% of your assets. So much lower by 6% than where we were thought of when we originally did this project. And if we move to $50 million, and that's the makeup on all the way to the right-hand side, that's, you know, it comes out to be $23.7 million. So your portfolio, your total investable assets, cash, and reserves goes from $160 million to $211 million. And so we're recommending that $50 million to keep in pretty good representation of that 25%, so that 23.7%. The other thing I would make note is in that blue, the operating cash. You know, if you stay with that, if there's $50 million that gets moved into that sustainability fund, that's 18.4%, but that's $38.8 million. When we think about, I looked in your guys's annual expenses in 2023 out of the general fund was a 27.7. I took that number from a BDO presentation that was in front of you. The coverage of just your operating cash is 140% of your annual expenses coming of the general fund per BDO. So I feel very, very comfortable, you know, with that $50 million. You still have plenty of reserves in case something happened in your guys's on your expense side. And that doesn't subtract the fact from if something outside the scope and a staff called APCM says, hey, we need even more additional money, the fund that APCM manages the reserves, we're able to, there's plenty of liquidity in that fund, we'd be able to raise cash and be able to move that over into your guys' checking account to pay for expenses. So that that makeup on the right hand side, I feel very comfortable. That still meets liquidity needs and also asset preservation, but also to be able to do what the sustainability fund is. You have a little bit of reserves, put it off to the out in a more riskier bucket and let that grow. Now I'm going to just turn it back over to Joel, and he's going to talk about the distribution of the sustainability fund, the difference between the 40 and 50 million. And then the second is now we're going to look at those risk characteristics that we saw earlier, but we're going to add all your assets together for this next analysis.
Thank you, Bill. So yeah, the next thing I wanted to look at here is some Monte Carlo simulations that we ran for just the sustainability fund. So these are forward-looking projections that use our expectations for our future risk, return, and asset correlations. We went ahead and ran the simulations with both the $40 million and $50 million starting market values with no other contributions. We did include distributions at 4% of the five-year average market value starting in 2030 as per Resolution 2025-45. And on our chart to the right here, you can see how that actually impacts our expected ending wealth. So for the $40 million case, an expected ending wealth at the base case of $62 million. And for the $50 million case, an expected ending wealth of just under $78 million. Additionally, in the distribution table below, you can see our projections for future distributions for both cases. In year six, so 2030, we expect there to be about a $500,000 difference between the two scenarios, growing to about a $600,000 difference by the end of the simulation horizon in year 10. With that, we can move to the next slide, please. So now, like Bill said, we're going to take a look at the holistic investment portfolio characteristics. So we took that same modeling work that we did for the sustainability fund, and we're looking to incorporate the city's operating cash and short-term reserves as well. So you can see that on the right here with the $40 million case, the risk control bucket would be about 86% of the portfolio. Like Bill mentioned earlier, that's going to be your bonds and cash. And then under the $50 million case, that's a little bit lower at just under 83%. So what that represents is you're taking a little bit more overall risk by going up to the $50 million bucket. That's also represented in the average expected loss in extreme conditions on that bottom row there, going from 4.25% under the $40 million case to 5.53% under the $50 million case. However, we do expect that additional risk to be compensated in the portfolio, as you can see by our expected long run return, going just incrementally up there from 4.34% under the $40 million case to 4.5% under the $50 million case. Once again, I think this is a pretty important simulation for you to look at, because it shows you, although you're taking additional risk within that sustainability fund, at an overall level, you still have a majority risk control assets that would allow the city to weather any potential volatility in equity markets. And with that, I think I'll pause briefly for any questions before I hand it back to Bill.
Thank you. Do you have any questions? None. Thank you.
I will take any questions in regard until I have one more slide, kind of looking at the next steps. But with that, I'll take any questions outside anything from what Joel said in regards to between the 40 and 50 and any information that I might be able to help you guys with your final decision on the allocation.
So in case of emergency, we need to pull some money out of this. Is there a penalty?
No, there is no penalty. Oh. Yep. All the assets are priced in the secondary market. If for some reason you had to get into the sustainability fund, you know, when we think about that bucketing, your cash would go first. That would get drawn down. Then the APCM fund. You know, 100 plus million in the APCM fund, that would have to get drawn down, then the sustainability fund. But if for some reason, you know, every year that there's a distribution, we're able to sell securities without fees to you guys. Yes.
Any further questions? Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Okay, so earlier in, before we got in the work session, she said there was $122 million in our portfolio. Mm-hmm. So this graph that I'm looking at, so if we would then, we'd be taking the $40 or $50 million out of that 122 portfolio and putting in a different one with the moderate risk allocations, correct? Mm-hmm. And that this pie graph that we're looking at represents the entire asset allocation again.
Like, yeah.
And so
one clarification on that. This pie chart takes in all 211 million of your guys' assets. The 122 in the portfolio would stay the same. The 50 million, 40 or 50 million would come out of your cash, which is in currently in the Alaska Municipal League investment pool.
Okay. So it's not part of the 122.
It's not part of 122. There's additional approximately $90 million in cash in basically a money market fund.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this might be getting a little bit away from the sustainability part, but I want to kind of just briefly touch on the emergency operations fund.
Mm-hmm.
I know if I recall, it should grow with the growth of the city needs. I think you might have even said that at one point about it being a percentage of the operating expense needs, say, you know, for an emergency. But mm-hmm. It seems like we have it set at a certain dollar value. I'm wondering if that, too, at some point needs to be addressed. I mean, as we, as the city needs, I mean, the whole point of that, right, was to be able to meet payroll and things of that nature should the bottom drop out and we need to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if, I know that was just, that was, seems like that was set quite a while back, mm-hmm. I think earlier than 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to really get off topic here, but I'm curious if that is something that we should be addressing, and if we do address it and it goes up or it be a percentage based, how would that affect any decisions on the amount that's being advised to put into the sustainability fund?
A lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
A lot to unpack. If I could go to page 25, please, or slide 25 of our deck. This is something that was back in, you guys might be familiar with, and why I bring this up, because you mentioned the emergency operation. Now, you guys, that $25 million is in cash and or APCM. That's just something that hasn't been carved out yet, and it's its own portfolio. That's something I'll probably come back to you guys and after we get the sustainability fund up and going, because that $25 million is emergency that should, you know, we could extend duration and maturities in that portfolio and have its own subset portfolio of that. Let me take a stab at your question. Now, the $25 million is what you guys voted on, and that's been carved out. Now, where you guys came up with that $25 million, I think there was discussion. I was, you know, that was there. But I do know, working across the state with a lot of different, you know, we'll have a sustainability fund, we'll have the short terms. And as we continue going, don't think of this as static and you guys are not going to see this again. We're going to be in front of you all the time. And it could be a part where you guys have more revenues and you guys might want to put more in the sustainability fund, or maybe you guys want to put more in the emergency operations fund. And this is something that every year that we're in front of you, we should have this discussion. Are these amounts the right asset mix for you guys, the right bucketing solution for you guys between liquidity? Maybe you guys have a situation where you guys have large expenditures and you guys use some of these funds. We'd come back to you and redo the analysis and do it again. The other aspect of this is just going off of another council that I work with, is the equity mix in within their overall assets. They started with 25%, kind of similar to you guys. That's kind of, you guys asked me that time, does any other city do what we're doing here? And there's one other city that does in this particular case. And we went into COVID. They didn't blink an eye. We got out of COVID, and then equity prices went up. And I went back to them, and I mentioned to them and said, hey, your equity exposure is now 38% of your overall. Do you guys want to dial that back? Do you guys want to increase it? Do you guys feel comfortable with? What they came back to me was like, hey, Bill, we just went through a crisis, and none of us were really worried, and we're okay, and we have plenty of liquidity. So they were okay with the increased equity allocation. So maybe in 2 or 3 years, I'm back in front of you and say, hey, I hope so, that the equity allocation's moved up, everything's going well. And I think that's the take and give between APCM and council and trying to pick the right numbers. Did I get that question? Did I answer that question, Councilman Coleman?
Yes, I like the discussion about, you know, addressing it every year and revisiting these things because, you know, times change. I don't want to be in knee-jerk reaction, of course, you know, following every mood swing that the market has. But I do appreciate the overview here, and I just want to make sure that that even with the increase, we can still cover. This, to me, was just always about making that little chunk of money work a little bit harder for you, if we can, because we have it there for us. And instead of just sitting there, you know, in a piggy bank, I'd like to see as much as, you know, comfortable to be able to do that. And I think the question, though, that Mr. Tungle did raise up is like, you know, how easy is it to move monies in and out of this portfolio once it's established? And I think that's kind of a key thing to this too, is if something comes up and we need to take $10 million out, you know, and you say there's no penalties for this,
correct.
Or if we feel like, you know, we can add. So
I'm going to look at your, you would have to go to vote to vote. Is that correct? That's the only stipulation.
I think the other way to look at it isn't penalties, it's that in the sustainability fund, you're working on a longer term investment horizon, right? So you're a little more susceptible to upturn and downturn in the market. That is sort of part of the reason why you'd be less inclined to draw cash out of it than from your investments that have a lower return, but they see less fluctuation in the pound. Because you could be in a position where you want cash when it's lower or high. So you're looking at your bonds and savings accounts and stuff. It doesn't walk it down.
Yeah, thank you. And that's right. And that's the whole point of this portfolio, is just to kind of ride out those and keep that money in there. And that would be my intention. And that was my, yes. And just to draw on the returns for that. So, thank you for the explanation.
Well, thank you. Any further questions?
And I'll just finish up on the last page here and kind of looking at the next steps. This would be page 13. Yes, please. Kind of moving us through this pipeline. Once you approve the final allotment for the sustainability fund, APCM will assist the city with establishing another custodial account for the sustainability. Basically, that's another account where they hold the assets. And then from there, we'll implement the portfolio allocation from there. And that would conclude my remarks on the work session.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Comments? Well, thank you for guiding us through this process. It's We've been through this almost 3 or 4 times now. Hopefully we come to an agreement and get the sustainability fund going, and also look at the emergency fund down the road, some of that revenue coming out of that.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Now we'll receive public comment. About 3 minutes. State your name.
Emlyn Crane. I was just wondering, with regard to this issue, if you've ever considered maybe pulling a portion of that money aside and starting a sort of community foundation to support the nonprofits, something that could earn interest so that we wouldn't have to come back to you for grants every year, and maybe we wouldn't be so dependent on you. It's just a thought.
Well, that would probably take a accessibility study, and depending on what the case of the city, if it can do it legally, I mean, that's, you're talking about certain entity, privatized or nonprofit, especially entities, other entities may not be involved, and they may have a problem with that. So we have to look at where we can do that. Thanks. Any further questions? Public comments? Okay, seeing no one else is in the chambers, city clerk, anyone in comments, written comments, or on Zoom?
Mayor, no one signed up for public comment at this time.
Yeah, thank you. I'll request a motion and a second to return to regular session.
I make a motion to go back into a regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Dungal, second by Councilman Longo. Are there any objection? Hearing no objection, we're back in regular session at 7:35 p.m. We're back in regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda item must stand up with the city clerk. Ordinance, first item under the regular agenda is Ordinance 2025-10, appropriating a contribution to the city's sustainability fund and to retain an investment custodian and investment manager. We have a motion and a second to introduce Ordinance 2025-10 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on August 26, 2025.
I move to introduce Ordinance 2025-10, scheduled for public hearing, second reading, August 26, 2025.
Moved by Councilman Coleman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilman Bell. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction of this ordinance.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. So this is the ordinance that will go hand in hand with the non-code ordinance that will basically, or excuse me, that will help create this fund and move the money into the fund itself. We've heard quite a bit tonight from our, basically our financial consultant and one of the crafters of this work, along with our attorneys, to make sure that you've moved along to meet your goal to try and create a fiscal sustainability fund. And this is just one more of the tools you need to go through to do that. I'm happy to answer any particular questions rather than go through it all again.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. I'm gonna start with the housekeeping. I make a motion to amend Ordinance 2025-10, section 2, to replace where it is going to come from. It says the contribution shall be appropriated from cash or short term. So I changed that to the contribution shall be appropriated from the general fund. And section 5, strike away, it says, I think it's, it just says the sixth line, but it's down in the further paragraph with Alaska Permanent Fund Capital Management, that fund word should be struck and it should read Alaska Permanent Capital Management.
Second.
And moved in by Councilman Coleman and second by Councilman Bell to amend Ordinance 2025. And discussion. Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. There were just some, like I said, little housekeeping items to take care of with some verbiage. So I wanted to get that out of the way first so we have a clean record moving forward.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion or comments on the amendment? Hearing none, I'll call a vote for the amendment.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tongo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 4 yeses and 0 nays, the amendment passes. We'll continue now with the amended ordinance 2025-10.
I move to amend ordinance 2025-10 to insert the amount of $50 million in both blank bills to reflect the amount of money to contribute to the sustainable fund.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungo, seconded by Councilman Longo to insert language in the amended 2025-10 ordinance in the amount of $50 million to both fields to reflect the amount of money to the sustainability fund. Okay, any discussion? Motion. Go ahead. Mr. Coleman.
Actually, I'm just going to speak to the main motion when it comes forward. Thank you. Not to the amended.
Councilman Bell.
I'll just make a quick comment on the amendment here. One of my concerns, and I know this has been discussed, is some of the expenses that we are looking forward to here or as moving forward. We know we've got a lot of facilities in the city that have had, some upgrades, but are, 30-year-old buildings. We know we're going to have some large expenses coming down the pike here pretty soon. We've got maintenance that's been deferred, and a lot of those projects are going to add up into quite a few dollars. But I feel confident in the presentation and the information that our investment managers have given to us. And if the city manager and our finance department are in agreement that $50 million is an appropriate amount to move to this fund without affecting the operations of the city, I can support that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion on the amendment? I'd like to say I agree with Councilman Bell that the city does have a path down the line that's going to be needing some money. But we as council members, though, get the financial reports every month, need to look at what needs to be put aside. The CMMP needs possibly be revised to update it to include more building and maintenance facilities for the city. We see a lot of on the CNMP of new projects, but we need to put a number on those facilities so that we can have a map to continue moving forward and use this revenue for purposes that we think are important to the community. So I'll support, and then I hope that this passes. Well, any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call roll call on the amendment, second amendment.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
The roll call vote of 4 yes, 0 nays. Second amendment to ordinance 2025-10 of adding $50 million on two locations in the resolution has passed. Now to the main motion, Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. Yes, I know that previous public comment was made about uses for this. This is specifically meant for revenue generating. The needs to be determined were decided in the last meeting. But however, this is, you know, 5 years to maturity. So I suspect that will be revisited depending on community city needs in the future. So it's a bit of a wait to let this thing mature so that we can have a reasonable amount of money to be able to draw from later. So, like I said, it's 5 years. So in a few years, a couple of years might need to be revisited to see where this should be allocated, possibly. So, like I said, so stay tuned, everybody, and make sure you stay engaged with your council. And like I said, hopefully this will fit the needs. So I'm sure it'll be well enjoyed in 5 years come time. So thank you, council, for supporting us.
Thank you. Any further comments on amended ordinance 2025-10? Okay, hearing none, I request a roll call vote on ordinance 2025-10 as amended.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Well, thank you. On a roll call vote of 4 zeros and 0 nays, this council has introduced amended ordinance 2025-10 and scheduled it for public hearing the second reading on August 25th, 2025. Next item is council directives to the city manager. Is there any directives? Need a motion and a second. We'll call vote. Hearing none, community input and announcement. This is the final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. Anyone in chambers? Other announcements? City clerk, were any written comments submitted? Does anyone on Zoom or telephone wish to speak?
No one, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Having completed all items on the agenda, we are adjourned. 8:46 p.m.